This is Kathy Damaris, volunteer reader for Sun Sounds of Arizona, reading articles from Arizona highways. The scenic drive for June 2026 is Forest Road 514, articles written by Noah Austin. There's no bad way to see the San Francisco Peaks, which are the state's highest mountains and the eroded remains of a massive stratovolcano. But viewing the peaks from the Flagstaff area, as most people do, means missing much of the volcanic history on display in the larger San Francisco volcanic field to the north. Forest Road 514, which crosses through the field, offers an up-close look at that geology along with some modern-day natural beauty. You'll start this drive northeast of Flagstaff on U.S. Route 89A. Just north of mile marker at 434, turn left onto Forest Road 417, a wide Coconino National Forest Road that's pocked with dark rocks and large ruts. This road bisects a rolling landscape of junipers and tall grasses with the peaks visible to the south. After just more than a mile, you reach a Y intersection, bear left onto Forest Road 514, which will take you the rest of the way. By now, you probably noticed the landscape of low, rounded buttes you're navigating. According to the Arizona Geological Survey at the University of Arizona, there are more than 600 volcanoes in the San Francisco volcanic field, which covers some 3,000 square miles. Volcanic activity began 6 million years ago in the western part of the field. The eastern part is home to Sunset Crater, which erupted the most recently about 1,000 years ago. You may or may not be thinking about volcanoes as you curve through a few areas of large junipers and pinon pines. Indeed, by mile 4.5, the geology takes a back seat to the vegetation as a thick forest of junipers and pinons lines both sides of the relatively smooth road. A mile after that, you'll reach another Y intersection and again bear left to stay on Forest Road 514, which soon climbs to an area where ponderosa pines begin to mingle with the other trees. When you come to a clearing at mile 7.4, you'll see volcanic buttes to the left, to the right, and straight ahead, cradling a gorgeous grassy area. You don't need to worry about eruptions, though. While the field is considered active, eruptions occur only every several thousand years, and future activity is expected to happen to the east in the Sunset Crater area. At yet another Y intersection at mile 8.3, bear left again. You'll now pass through a forest of tall ponderosas before coming to another clearing, this one ringed by ponderosas whose lower branches were burned off long ago by a low-intensity wildfire. Then it's back into the ponderosas for a heavily forested stretch that ends at mile 12.5 when you'll enter Kendrick Park, a huge meadow that dwarfs the previous clearings and offers hiking and wildlife watching opportunities. Straight ahead, you'll see Kendrick Peak, one of the few volcanoes in the field that aren't of the cinder cone variety. Instead, it's one of 10 silicic domes, which form from viscous lava that's rich in silica. Here, the road becomes Kendrick Park Road and transitions to smooth, wide gravel. Within a half mile, you'll reach the side road on the right to Kendrick Cabin, a former fire guard cabin now open to overnight guests under the U.S. Forest Service's Rooms with a View program. If you don't have reservations, continue for another mile to the road's end at U.S. Route 180, which will take you northwest toward the Grand Canyon or southeast to Flagstaff. Either way, there's plenty more interesting geology to see. And this concludes Forest Road 514. The hike of the month for June 2026 is Thompson Road, articles written by Robert Steve. In most cases, the combination of black and white makes gray. In eastern Arizona, it's different. When you combine the Black River with the White Mountains, you get green, so many shades of green. And when the summer wildflowers start blooming, you'll see some gold in the palette as well. Green and gold, like the Green Bay Packers, but the tickets are easier to come by, and they're free. All you have to do is hit the road. State Route 260 is a national scenic byway. Park the car and lace up your boots. The route begins at a small trailhead that can squeeze in five or six vehicles. The river is in plain sight. The trail is not. To get to it, you'll have to walk about 100 yards to the west, then drop down the bank on the south side of the dirt road. The rest of the route, which begins as a two-track, is easy to follow, and if you do lose sight, just find your way back to the water. The Thompson Trail parallels the Black River all the way to its end. From the outset, you'll see signs of the Wallow Fire, which burned 538,049 acres in and around the White Mountains in 2011. Some of those acres were on the steep slopes that bracket the river. But looking up is not like looking at old black and whites of London after the Blitz. The worst of the scarring is obscured by a carpet of thick grasses and clusters of young aspens, adolescents intent on taking over the natural world. About 10 minutes in, you'll come to the upper end of an Apache troutfish barrier. The human-made blockade functions as a waterfall, preventing non-native fish from moving into the Apache's trout's habitat. The fish is one of only two trout species that are native to Arizona. The other is the Gila trout. Both are listed as threatened under the Endangered Species Act, and barriers such as these have helped restore the 10-inch long fish to its historical habitat. For obvious reasons, this portion of the Black River is closed to fishing. Just beyond the barrier, you'll see a gate, but the trail veers left before you get to it. At this point, the two-track pairs down to a single track and nudges up against the river. 500 yards later, you'll come to the lower end of the enclosure, which is marked by an impressive waterfall. It too is human-made. Still, it makes for a great photo. However, if you're a purist and limit your exposures to Mother Nature, there's plenty to choose from as the trail moves from a grove of evergreens into one of the White Mountains' many lush cienegas. Cienega is a Spanish word that means wet, marshy area. In any language, these meadows are great places to see elk and mule deer, especially around dawn or dusk. Other wildlife in the area include black bears, coyotes, turkeys, mountain lions, and Mexican wolves. Keep your eyes peeled. At the same time, watch your step in the cienegas. In some cases, what appears to be solid ground is in fact a boggy pothole. Expect to get muddy. After a half hour of hiking, the trail moves back into the woods. An alpine forest of white pines, Engelmann spruce, Colorado blue spruce, and Douglas firs. There are ferns, too. In the summer, they add another shade of green. As you make your way through the ferns and trees, the trail veers away from the river, but only slightly. You'll still hear the recurring waterfalls, and you'll see a series of hardy cairns, presumably built in the wake of the fire when everything was a mess. Eventually, after about an hour on the trail, those cairns will drop you off at an intersection with the West Fork Black River Trail, which is a turnaround point for this route. If you have time, explore that trail too, or just sit down and look around. The river gives life to a montane riparian zone that's reminiscent of something you'd see in Washington or Maine. Arguably, it's one of the most lush and beautiful places in Arizona, and it's certainly the last thing you'd expect from a combination of black and white. And this concludes Thompson Trail. We'll turn now to the July 2026 issue of Arizona Highways, and we'll start out with the editor's letter by Robert Steve. We're still thawing out from the great ice storm of 1976 when the wagon train rolled in. It was cold that day, too, damp, with scattered showers. The high was in the low 50s. Painter's pants were popular then, and most of us were wearing them on April 23rd with some combination of red and blue sneakers and sweaters. The school released us around noon, and we made our way downtown, a choppy stream of school kids unaffected by the soggy weather and high on having dodged the last few classes of the day. Terry Connors and I quickly broke from the herd along with Tommy Fisher, Tim Stowers, and a few other street urchins. Terry's parents owned a bar on the main street in our small town. It used to be a bank, and it still looked like a bank from the outside. Inside, it was a stereotype. We were headed to the roof of the two-story building. It was slippery up there, and there weren't any guardrails, but we had the best seats in town for the big parade, which began at 2:30 p.m. when the bicentennial wagon train crossed the bridge over the Wisconsin River. The train was made up of prairie schooners and Conestoga wagons from all 50 states. It began its journey in Blaine, Washington, and eventually arrived in Valley Forge, Pennsylvania, on the 4th of July. Like the bicentennial minutes, a nightly dose of patriotic Kool-Aid, the wagon train was a hallmark of our nation's year-long bender. Another highlight was Charles Kuralt's On the Road to 76 series. Throughout the year, a production crew from CBS visited each of the 50 states to film a short human interest piece. Tom Cooper was our editor at the time. In October 1975, he said, I got a call from somebody at CBS in New York who asked, what's happening in Arizona during the bicentennial that would make a good story for Kuralt? I was ready for him because Jim Stevens, our business director, and I had decided to commission two outstanding Navajo weavers to create a U.S. and an Arizona flag rug. Senator Barry Goldwater said he'd get the American flag flown over the U.S. Capitol, then would fly the Arizona flag over the Arizona State Capitol. Afterward, would auction off the flags and donate the funds to Navajo Community College to help support the preservation of the wonderful art of Navajo weaving. Charles Kuralt was an absolute delight to work with, but at some point he'd heard about a local medicine man known as Friday who rode into one of the trading posts almost every Friday morning to buy coffee. Unfortunately, it's Thursday afternoon at this point, and I can feel Charles's wheels turning. He wants to set up on Friday morning with cameraman Izzy Bleckman and document this old guy riding into the trading post. There goes my Arizona Highways flag story. I lay awake that Thursday night trying to figure out how a medicine man coming to buy coffee fit into the bicentennial concept and how it was going to scrap my flag story. But here's a happy ending. Izzy, Charles, and I were standing out in a cold wind for 2 hours that morning waiting for Friday to come trotting down this dry wash to get his coffee. Well, Friday must have overslept. He didn't show. We froze for 2 hours waiting for him. Then Izzy says, Charles, I think we ought to finish the flag story. The flag was made by Sadie Curtis, a noted weaver at Hubble Trading Post in Ganado. In addition, Mary Lee Begay, another weaver at Hubble, created an equally beautiful replica of the Arizona flag. On July 14, 1976, Flag Day, the 4-by-6-foot American flag rug was raised over our nation's capital. It was hoisted by West Holden, our associate editor, and Carolyn Hartman. The day before we went on top of the Capitol, Miss Hartman said, I met Wes in Senator Goldwater's office. I was the senator's receptionist. I did a lot of different things in that role. When Wes came in, he was showing me the flag and telling me that we were going to go on top of the Capitol, on the roof, and fly it the next day. Okay, all right, you know, I'm an Arizonan. I can do this. I was younger then. The next day, I put on my dress, a red, white, and blue dress, and we raised the Navajo flag rug over the Capitol. 2 weeks later, on July 1st, Governor Raul Castro flew both rugs over the Arizona Capitol, and Miss Curtis was featured on the cover of our July 1976 issue. Then on December 12th, the two rugs were auctioned off at the Ashton Gallery in Scottsdale by Western film star Rex Allen. The American flag rug was sold to Gerald Thomas for $4,000. John Wilson bought the other rug for $3,750. When adjusted for inflation, the auction raised $45,000 for the scholarship fund at the school known today as Diné College. I've been wondering about those rugs and where they might be, so I started looking. Like a golden retriever eagerly hoping a potato chip will fall to the floor, I was hoping the rugs had somehow made it back to the Navajo Nation. Turns out one of them is in the next best place. In 2001, Mr. Thomas donated the American flag rug to Valley Presbyterian Church for its annual fundraiser. The Heard Museum bought it from the church and put it in its permanent collection. It'll be on display until early 2028. You should go and see it and everything else at the Heard. Meantime, on behalf of everyone at Arizona Highways, I wish you all a safe and happy 4th of July. And this concludes Editor's Letter. There is one main article in the July 2026 issue, and it's entitled 250 Things We Love About Arizona. This is not a comprehensive list. Let's get that out of the way, right away. Even if we had as much real estate as the Oxford English Dictionary, all 20 volumes, we couldn't cover it all. There are so many things to love about Arizona, too many to fit in a single magazine. We can't even pull it off in our guidebooks. We have several dedicated to narrow subjects, hikes, scenic drives, ghost towns, and even then we only scratch the surface. It's the same with this. It's just a sample of what's out there. 250 things to celebrate the nation's semi-quincentennial. Some are obvious, like the Heard Museum and Kolb Studio, but much of what you'll see inside is less familiar, like the Melon Crush at local juicery. What they all have in common is a key role in why we're here. Some people think of us as a photography magazine. It's understandable. We publish some pretty good stuff. Our mission, however, is to promote travel to and through the state. We do that by showcasing the people, places, and things that make Arizona unique, from its spectacular landscapes and colorful history to its fascinating culture and endless adventure. This month, we feature all of the above. It's a small sample, but it's enough to keep you busy for a while. First up, local artisans. Rhonda and Wendell Crow Goat Cheese. Crow's Dairy opened as a cow dairy in 1919. In the mid-2000s, Rhonda and Wendell Crow decided to sell the cows and embark on what they call a two-year cheese vacation to figure out what to do next. The result? Crow's Dairy now makes nothing but goat cheese. Being a dairyman, Wendell knows the importance of quality products, and he says what sets Crow's cheese apart from others on the market is the use of Nubian goats. We can't make good cheese out of bad milk, he says. We know how to produce a fantastic goat, and that makes all the difference in the world. Crow's Dairy is located at 11300 South Dean Road in Buckeye. Phone number 602-390-2601. Ryan Elowatt, Luthier. Ryan Elowatt, founder of Flagstaff's Solstice Guitars, first picked up a sixth string when he was 13 and became obsessed. It was a perfect muse for a kid growing up in California's Orange County, consuming music that ranged from classical and acoustic to the Paul McCall sounds of Southern California's 1990s punk scene. Music is one of the most incredible art forms that humans participate in, he says. It's one of the most emotive. He launched Solstice Guitars in 2017. In addition to creating custom models, the business offers repairs for guitars, banjos, mandolins, and other fretted string instruments. For more information, visit the website solsticeguitars.com. Celeste Mills Jewelry. As a self-taught silversmith, Celeste Mills of Cactus Bloom Design takes great pride in crafting jewelry inspired by her Sonoran desert home. The pieces are delicate and hand-carved with images of native plants, and they often incorporate turquoise and other southwestern stones. As the first female silversmith from the Pascua Yaqui tribe, Mills is deeply committed to the integrity of her work, so all of her components are sterling silver or 14 karat gold filled and made from natural stones that are never dyed or pressed. I am free to invent my own style and create pieces that are totally original, she says. Since there are very few Yaqui silversmiths, I get to explore my own design aesthetic using my own influences. For information, visit the website celestemills.com. Stephen Paul Whiskey. One evening, Stephen Paul sat on his patio with his wife, Elaine, sipping on scotch. Elaine had an idea, a single malt whiskey made with mesquited rather than peated malt. So Stephen began learning about the whiskey-making process. That was in 2006, and in 2011, the Paul's daughter, Amanda, moved back to Tucson from New York. The family business was born. Today, Whiskey Del Bac offers handcrafted whiskey, bourbon, and rye. They're rich, earthy, and slightly sweet, and they celebrate the flavors of the Sonoran Desert. Whiskey Del Bac is located at 2106 North Forbes Boulevard, Suite 103 in Tucson. Phone number 520-628-9244. Website whiskeydelbac.com. Jerry Salinas, Fine Art. Jerry Salinas, a Phoenix-based figurative painter, is known for luminous, impressionistic oil portraits that celebrate color and culture. He trained at the American Academy of Art in Chicago, then spent years as a commercial illustrator before transitioning into full-time fine art. His work reflects both urban roots and southwestern vibrancy, often depicting figures in intimate, light-filled settings. Salinas teaches at the Scottsdale Artist School and exhibits nationally, continuing to refine a contemporary realistic style grounded in warmth and humanity, as well as expressive color. For more information, the website is jerrysalinas.com. Daniel Shercliffe, Glassware. Daniel Shercliffe, founder of Primitive Glass, is a Phoenix-based glassblower whose work blends rugged craftsmanship with modern design. With more than 30 years in front of the fire, he creates hand-blown glassware from pitchers to beer glasses and lamps that reflects a love of experimentation, heat, and process. He describes his path in the art form as accidental but driven by persistence, comparing the trial and error of glassblowing to skateboarding. His pieces are both functional and expressive, rooted in individuality, resilience, and a deep pull to create joy through colorful everyday objects. For more information, go to primitiveglass.com. Stina Sweesey, Skincare. Stina Sweesey has been obsessed with the desert since she was a young girl roaming around with her brother. I grew up in Phoenix, she says. That was before it was super developed up north, so we were backed up against a lot of desert. My little brother and I would ride bikes through the desert all year long, even in the middle of the summer. It didn't matter how hot it was. We were desert kids, and that was kind of like life for us. As much as the desert informed Sweesey's upbringing, so did a deep creative spirit. Those elements play heavily into her skincare line, Mother Mountain Herbals. Sweesey makes her entire line by hand using natural, ethically sourced ingredients, many of which come from the Sonoran Desert. For more information, you can visit the website at mothermountainherbals.com. The next category is Eat and Drink. ATM Sandwich, Indian Gardens Cafe and Market. Located in Oak Creek Canyon, Indian Gardens is a favorite for its food and scenic outdoor patio. The lunch menu includes a wide range of soups and sandwiches, including the ATM made with turkey, bacon, roasted green chilies, chipotle mayo, avocado, cheddar cheese, lettuce, and tomato on ciabatta. An Indian Gardens Cafe and Market is located at 3951 North State Route 89A in Sedona. Phone number 928-282-7702. Website IndianGardens.com. Banh Mi Bowl, Arizona Wilderness Miracle Mile. When the Wilderness team opened the Miracle Mile on McDowell Road, Chef David Cruz decided to mix it up a little, and the Banh Mi Bowl was born. It's a healthful palate pleaser featuring crisp pulled chicken, pickled carrots and jalapenos, cucumbers, rice, cilantro, and a spicy yuzu miso dressing. Arizona Wilderness Miracle Mile is located at 1418 East McDowell Road in Phoenix. Phone number 480-582-0580. Website azwbeer.com. Blue Crab Cakes, the grill at Hacienda del Sol. The dining room at this historic property features large windows that offer beautiful mountain views. They'll make you wish you lived there. Guests can watch the sunset with a glass of Cabernet and a classic appetizer, such as the Blue Crab Cakes, which are served with asparagus tips, Old Bay dill remoulade, and lemon. The grill at Hacienda del Sol is located at 5501 North Hacienda del Sol Road in Tucson. Phone number 520-299-1501. Website haciendadelsol.com. Breakfast panini at Pangea Bakery. There are many reasons this bakery has been a local favorite for more than 20 years. High on the list are the specialty breads, including a dense sourdough rye that's popular with European customers. Another favorite is the breakfast panini, which is served on house-made sourdough and made with 3 organic scrambled eggs and a 3-cheese blend. Pangea Bakery is located at 1260 Gail Gardner Way, Suite 105 in Prescott. Phone number 928-227-2791. Website facebook.com/Pangea Bakery. Chana Masala, India's Flame. It's hard to pick a favorite here, but high on the list are chicken tikka masala, garlic naan, and samosas, as well as vegetarian options such as chili paneer, curry pakora, and chana masala, which is made with garbanzo beans, tomato, and onion gravy, stewed in garam masala, and topped with red onion. India's Flame is located at 4427 South Rural Road, Suite 3 in Tempe. Phone number 480-456-0155. Website indiasflame.com. Cherry pie at Ms. Zips. Although we've singled out the cherry pie, all the pies at Ms. Zips, lemon, blackberry, coconut, blueberry, apple, rhubarb, pumpkin, stand out as delicious comfort food. The delicate flaky crust is a big part of that, but so is the ambiance of this classic diner, which is located along historic Route 66. Ms. Zips is located at 2924 East Historic Route 66 in Flagstaff. Phone number 928-526-0104. Website mszips.com. Cooking in a Cloud at Jacob Lake Inn. Shouldn't it be cloud in a cookie because the marshmallow cream is on the inside? And is a plural cookies in a cloud like Attorneys General or Whoppers Jr.? Those are the only things in doubt about this heavenly chocolate confection created at a place that's been serving Arizona Strip travelers since the 1920s. Jacob Lake Inn is located at the intersection of U.S. Route 89A and State Route 67. Phone number 928-643-7232. Website jacoblake.com. Double Cheeseburger at Holbrook A&W. The heyday of Route 66 has passed, but there are ways to live vicariously, including a visit to A&W before or after a visit to Petrified Forest National Park. Our webmaster likes the double cheeseburger, but root beer floats and fries are nice flashbacks too. Finish up with a visit to the Rainbow Rock Shop next door. Holbrook A&W is located at 101 West Hopi Drive in Holbrook. Phone number 928-524-2841. Website awrestaurants.com. Farmers Cheese Pierogies at All Pierogi Kitchen. If you have a Ukrainian or Polish grandmother, you understand your genetic predisposition to seek rich farmer's cheese, onion, and maybe even a little sauerkraut, all wrapped neatly in a savory dumpling blanket. If grandma's not around, head to All Pierogi Kitchen. There you'll find a menu full of Eastern European treats. All Pierogi Kitchen is located at 1245 West Baseline Road, Suite 103 in Mesa. Phone number 480-262-3349. Website allpierogi.com. That's all the time we have for today, so I'll continue next time reading about 250 Things We Love About Arizona from the July 2026 issue of Arizona Highways. This is Kathy Damaris, volunteer reader for Sun Sounds of Arizona.